In 2020, perhaps more than any other year in our lifetime, we need to remind ourselves that the God of this universe does not act in predictable ways. God does not act in predictable ways, nor does He employ means that we would expect in order to accomplish His purposes. The consistent testimony of Holy Scripture is that when things appear to be at their worst, God shows up in remarkably surprising ways. And I think during this COVID pandemic, where our lives have been dramatically altered and turned upside down, we need to remember that God can and will use this time, probably in a manner that surprises you. For many of you, 2020 has been extremely difficult. Businesses have suffered greatly, and many persons have been laid off work or have had a reduction in their pay. Our routines have been disrupted, and ordinary privileges, such as being able to go to the beach or to dine inside of a restaurant, such activities have been largely restricted. Navigating the healthcare system and other important appointments have become complicated during this pandemic season. And then, of course, there is the isolation. For many, human connection has been limited to what we can achieve by way of a computer monitor. We've been told that hugging someone is now dangerous and shaking someone's hand is highly discouraged. These things could be endured if it were for a brief season, but we're now in our 10th month of this. Our 10th month of restriction. Our 10th month of isolation. Our 10th month of hardship. And there is an accumulative effect that all of these things have upon our psyche. We're tempted to be worried, to be anxious, even afraid, scared of what might lie ahead. But the Christian ought to resist such a temptation. The Christian resists fear, and the Christian resists anxiety, because we trust that God is managing the worst of circumstances in a manner that will ultimately benefit us and glorify Him. And if the Christmas story reminds us of anything, it reminds us that God comes through when we need Him the most. God comes through when we need Him the most, and He often comes through in ways we wouldn't expect and through unexpected means. Think through with me the Christmas story. From the very beginning, the story begins in chapter 1, as you might expect, in Luke's gospel, where the angel, the heavenly angel Gabriel, appears to Zechariah in the temple and announces to Zechariah that he and his wife Elizabeth will have a son in their old age, and that this son will be John the Baptist, who will be the forerunner for the promised Messiah. Then the angel Gabriel appears a second time, this time to a young peasant girl named Mary in the poorly regarded town of Nazareth, to tell Mary that she will conceive a son by unlikely means, that she will bear a child that will save the world from their sins, Mary is told in chapter 1 of Luke's Gospel, verse 32, that her son, her offspring, will be called the Son of the Most High God. This announcement from Gabriel perplexes Mary, causing her to ask the question, well, how will this be? For I am still a virgin. Gabriel goes on to explain how the Holy Spirit will bring this about, reminding Mary that nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible for God. Over and over again, we are greeted by an unlikely series of events within a chain of God's providence. God does not move in predictable ways, but He moves wisely. He moves perfectly, and He can take the worst of circumstances and bring the best of outcomes. Think of it. Think of what's going through in the text. Angels are appearing. And when we read our Bible, we might get the sense that this happens with some level of frequency. But in the timeline of Scripture, the appearance of angels is hugely rare. It doesn't often happen. And here you have not one to Zechariah. You have two to Mary. You have him now appearing to angels, or angels appearing to shepherds. Extraordinary things are taking place. Normal biological processes are being amended. Jesus, the Son of God, would be conceived by the Holy Spirit. Cultural expectations are being bypassed. God is not acting in a manner consistent with what the culture expected. The Jewish people had a very well thought out view of the conditions in which the Messiah would emerge. And God broke many of them because He would not be hedged in by human wisdom. We shouldn't be altogether surprised by this. We shouldn't be surprised because as the Creator of all things, God is at liberty to do as He pleases. As the God of this universe, He is not limited by the things that limit us. This is a God for whom nothing is impossible. Now, I've met people who scratch their head and think, you know, there really is no way to explain the virgin birth in a logical way. Well, maybe not in a logical way, but keep in mind that this is the God who created everything. You know, miracles like virgin births, walking on water, multiplying bread and fish, this is easy for a God who creates all things. A God for whom nothing is impossible. So this catalog of unlikely and unconventional events continues with this announcement that the Messiah has been born in Bethlehem. We have yet another appearance of an angel, followed by the appearance of a multitude of angels. And I know you've heard this story time and time again, and it may even discourage some from attending a Christmas service or tuning in, because we know the story. We're familiar with the elements, but we're so familiar we might miss the profundity of it. We might miss the meaning of it because we become so accustomed to it that we miss how amazing these events are. I would have expected the angels to appear in a palace. This is the King of Kings who is about to be born. Wouldn't he be born in a palace? No. Well, you might expect him to be born in proximity to the temple in Jerusalem. He is, after all, Israel's Messiah. But no. Instead, heaven's angels are commissioned, and you can imagine it. All the heaven's angels come before God. How are we going to announce their Savior's birth? And God says something like, well, there's a field in Judea I need you to go to. Excuse me? Not the temple? Not a palace? But the cold, dark fields of Judea. Well, who's there? Who's the important people that are going to get the announcement in the cold, dark fields of Judea? Oh, there's some shepherds there. They're watching their flock by night. Shepherds. Lowly, rugged shepherds. You may already know this, but if there is an upper, middle, and lower class in the first century, shepherds are the lowest tier of the lower class. This is among the most unlikely group of persons to receive such an important announcement. Religious leaders considered shepherds to be ceremonially unclean. There is no hint in the text that these were men of any kind of regard, that there is anything in their character that was devout or worthy of such an announcement. Nevertheless, God in His infinite wisdom ordained from all eternity that these lowly shepherds in the cold, dark fields of Judea would be the first to hear the announcement of the Messiah's birth. And in choosing the shepherds, I believe God makes a very important point. No class of persons, no category of persons is beyond the reach of God's grace. Amen. I sometimes think that we look around and we think that certain persons are more deserving of God's favor than others, that others are not worthy of it. This is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that no class of person and no category of person is beyond the reach of God's grace. And that should be good news to those who think they have strayed too far. I realize that our life is not this perfect upward climb of devotion and faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, that for many there are what we might regard as backsliding, or what we might call coming off the rails, or like a lost sheep, we wander. Well, the Christmas story reminds us that there is no such thing as wandering too far from God's grace. Some of you may think, well, I don't have as strong a faith as the person next to me, or this person at church that I worship with. My faith is weak. God comes to such a person. He comes to the weak and to the humble. The message of Christmas reminds us of this, that the God of the Scripture is not really all that concerned about people who think they have it all together. I mean, consistently in the New Testament, Jesus is angry with the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees. He's annoyed with them. Why? Because they think they have all the answers. They think they know everything that there is to know and that they've done everything that needs to be done. God is not as concerned with such persons as He is those who are most in need of Him. Indeed, the God of this universe, His eye is upon those who are most in need of Him. Jesus says His eye is on the sparrow and His eye is on you. We hear this from the Apostle Paul, and I know I spoke on this a Sunday ago, but I think what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1 matches what we find in the Christmas story. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 26 and following, Paul says, "Consider your calling, brothers." By the way, this is very humbling if you're a preacher or a missionary or someone in full-time ministry. Here's what Paul says about such persons. "Consider your calling. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things, the things that are not, in order to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. You can verify the elements of what Paul is teaching here by looking at the Christmas story. A young peasant girl from the poorly regarded town of Nazareth is chosen to give birth to the Son of God, not in beloved Jerusalem, but in the little town of Bethlehem. The infant Messiah is not born in a palace, nor is he born in near the temple. He is not robed in silk, but he is in swaddling cloths. He's put in a feeding trough where animals get their dinner. The Son of God was laid. The announcement of Christ's birth does not come to the noble, to the elite, to the high and mighty, but to lowly shepherds. The angels gather not at the temple, but in the cold, dark fields of Judea. God chose the things that are not in order that he might nullify the things that are, so that no person may boast before him. This is both humbling and encouraging. It's humbling to be reminded that I did nothing to merit God's favor. That if you have experienced God's favor, it has nothing to do with your performance. That's humbling. God's grace came to me not because I figured everything out, not because I had it all together, but God came to me because I realized I was coming apart, and that I was living in sin, and that I needed him. And it's our need of him, it's our confession of weakness that qualifies us for his mercy. It's encouraging to be reminded that God cares for the forgotten. He cares for the downtrodden. He cares for the lonely. He cares for the lowly. This is the Christian message. The message we see at Christmas. It's the gospel message that God gives grace to those who do not deserve it. I'd like you to notice, if you haven't already, that this earliest manifestation of God's grace completely overwhelmed the shepherds, terrified them. And again, Bob, I hope you don't take this the wrong way, but when I read about shepherds being rough and tough, you know, I picture a bunch of Bob Mastins out in the field. I picture these rough, tough, strong men. And it says that the appearance of angels terrified them. They experienced sheer dread. The text says in chapter 2, verse 9, they were filled with great fear. It's like Luke's writing and he's thinking, how can I show the maximum amount of terror in a sentence? And so he writes down the Greek equivalent of filled with great fear. And again, we see the countenance of this angel is such, it's so overwhelming that the shepherds are reduced to sheer dread, causing the angel to reply, "Don't be afraid. Fear not. Behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." I love the emphasis. I bring you good news of a great joy. Notice what the good news produces, and notice how far-reaching it is. The angel says that the good news, the announcement, the declaration will bring about, it will produce a great joy. And that great joy will be for whom? For all the people. Friends, the Christmas story is good news for you. And it's good news for me. We should also notice that before the good shepherds could be joyful, before they could sing hymns, before they could rejoice, the shepherds had to shake off their fear. They had to shake off their dread. And it seems to me that this is a helpful reminder for us this Christmas season. Because some of us have some worries right now. We have some anxieties. We have some fear. And we need to hear the word from the angel for ourselves. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. Fear not. Someone has been born for you who's going to work everything out and make everything okay. And if we don't meaningfully deal with our worries, if we don't meaningfully address our fears, the great joy that is to be found in the Christmas story may pass us by. I say that in part from experience, but I say it, of course, from this text. And many of you know what I'm talking about. You can point to Christmases past where you weren't all that joyful. For some, that might even be this Christmas. And if that's you this Christmas, please hear that what took place 2,000 years ago can make this Christmas a joyful one for you. Because this is God's reminder that He's breaking into history and He's breaking into your life. And everything's going to be fine in the end. Christmas ought to remind us that we worship a God who does not keep His distance. You know, we say in the Bahamas, I don't want you getting in my business. God is getting into your business and it's a good thing. God promises to get into your business and it's a good thing. The God who gets into your business amid your fears and worries assures you that He has everything under control. You may think everything's off the rails, but from God's vantage point, everything's going as planned. And we need that reminder. Now, that doesn't mean that all of your problems will soon evaporate. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what the text is saying. The promise is that your problems won't get the final word. They don't get the final say. God has a way of intervening in our lives when we need Him the most. In the worst of times, He breaks into our life and He reminds us that He is Emmanuel, God with us. And in that moment when we recognize that Jesus remains with us by the power of His Spirit, when we are assured that He is with us, we are also assured that He will work everything out in the end. Do you have a verse for that, Pastor? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. I don't know about you, but I need to hear that. And because my faith is sometimes lacking, I need to hear that repeatedly. The Christmas season, because of all of its busyness, because of all the traditions, it can drown out this message that you're hearing this morning. Because you want the decorations to look pretty. You want the lighting around your house to be beautiful. You have very high expectations around Christmas dinner and who will be there. You are joyfully anticipating particular guests, maybe even particular presents. And as meaningful as all of those things are, the joy they produce is fleeting. We need something bigger than Christmas traditions to strengthen and steady our faith during difficult times. We need God Himself. We need Emmanuel, God with us. So friends, I want you to look for Christ. Here I am saying over and over again, reflecting what I see in Scripture. Emmanuel, God is with us. God is with you. Jesus abides with you. His indwelling Spirit is with you always. You hear this over and over. But I want you to look for Him to manifest Himself to you in unexpected ways. And perhaps even through unexpected people. His people, but unexpected people. Remember and be encouraged. God comes to the lonely, and He comes to the lowly. And if we watch, if we're on the lookout, and if we pray, we will experience Emmanuel, God with us. And our trials won't get the final word. Jesus will have the final word. He will make everything right. And until that day, we cling to Him. We cling to Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.